Y'all know what it is.
Y'all ready?
Turn it up.
1, 2, 3.
Unscripted, unshackled, uncouth. What you're about to hear is for mature ears only. It's Miguel and Holly, uncensored, from Hot 101.5.
Rolling stones of the rap game, not bragging. Look bigger than Jagger, not sagging. Spell it backwards, I'ma leave it at that. Daddy got nothing to do with rap.
This is Miguel and Holly, uncensored. My name is Miguel Fuller.
I'm Holly O'Connor.
I'm Scotty the Body.
Hello. Thank you so much for listening. We do the morning show on Hot 101.5. And I want to say, if you get a chance, please take a second. And if you listen on iTunes, on your iPhone, leave us a rating, please.
Yeah.
Subscribe so you get notifications when it's new.
Smash that subscribe button, fam.
Hit it. Hit it all the way.
Yeah.
Hit it until the knobs come off.
Yeah.
I mean, the knobs don't really come off on your iPhone.
No.
You know, that's one thing I do miss about old school phones.
Yeah.
Is the ability to just really hang it up.
Oh, yeah. Like, today's kids have no idea about slamming a phone down and the power that vibrated through the electrical cords.
I mean, so like right here in the studio, we have, it's not an old fashioned phone, but it's
close enough.
Yeah, where it's like, hold on, put my microphone over here.
Yeah.
Where there was nothing better, and especially like when you're in high school and you're talking to someone and you're like, yeah, well, you know what? You too.
And just,
you're
bam.
Break the phone.
I know. There were
some
a couple
phones
times.
Were harmed in the making of that. Yeah. But like with your, with any mobile phone, like you don't slam shit. Like you gently.
Touch screen, hit the red button.
Yes. Yeah. You're like, ooh, red.
Like you do jam your finger into it, but they don't feel that crunch like you do when you hang up on someone and they hear that. Ding!
Good. That was a good old phone fight day. Love it.
Good old days. So it's our Uncensored podcast. But like I said, make sure to rate and subscribe and listen on iTunes. Thank you so much. So what we said on the show this morning is that we were going to do an Ask Us Anything Tuesday.
Yeah.
Where on the Miguel and Holly Instagram, which you can go and subscribe to, we've been taking some of your questions on there that we're going to answer. So
are you in charge of this or do you want us to be looking stuff up?
I'll just say I already have it up.
Okay, good.
But then also too, we're going to answer these on, I guess we'll take the ones that we answer on the podcast and we'll just say, hey, listen to the podcast to hear the answer. And then we'll answer the rest of them throughout the rest of the day.
Good idea.
Some of them don't get answered because they just don't.
Right.
Yeah. There's some questions that
just know
could get weird. Yeah.
I'm trying to think of one that was like really weird where I was like, it was like, God, I wish I could remember some of them. But this is just the ones where.
Some of y'all crazy is what it is.
Well, I feel like it's the kids. It's like kids that ask questions, like middle schoolers or whatever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm not going to answer that one. All right, we'll just go ahead and start with the first one. What exactly does an executive producer do? What does an executive producer do? Scott, what does an executive producer do?
So, I mean, my job right now is, okay, I guess I got to build from my foundation. So I came in, and what I do every day is I come in, I'll go through, like, the commercial log. You got to make sure all the commercials play, and I highlight it for Miguel and Holly to see when their commercials are coming up. So it's not a scramble a minute before it happens.
Wow, I didn't even know you did that.
Yeah, I'll do that, and then I'll over and I'll start collecting news stories for the day and, like, things that are trending and happening, and I'll send that over to Miguel and Holly as well, and then I'll start editing audio for the show and go through what stories are going to need audio. Is this going to be something that could be better with audio, or is there just something that's funny and dumb that could go along with a subject that we're doing? I'll cut that, and I'll put that in the system, or any music that we kind of need in the system to play during, let's say, Hot in Hollywood or something like that, I'll bring that in. And then during the show, I'm answering the calls. I'm running as much social media as I can from Facebook pages, Instagram, and also the Twitter pages. And now I also blog on the website. So I also try to put up a blog on the Hot 101.5 website during the show. Sometimes it doesn't happen because, honestly, I don't even know if you all want to read a blog. So I put it up there, and I'll share it on Facebook to kind of get it going. And then after the show, I try to keep the social media flowing with things that we talked about on the show that day to kind of bring the recap if you missed some things. And I'll kind of recap you there on Insta stories, Facebook, stuff like that.
You're like social media extraordinaire.
I mean, I love it. It's just, it's funny now that it's just becoming so much. And I'm like looking at all my friends and like everybody on Insta stories like, oh my God, I just joined TikTok. So I'm like, y'all, like, we need to get a TikTok now, because before you know it, that is going to be the one that's like everybody's on, and everyone's slowly going to start leaving the other ones.
Leaving the other ones?
Not going to be there as much. It's like, it's probably going to be, and I've watched videos about this too, it's like, it's probably going to be like how Facebook is. Like, we're still going to have it, we're still going to look at it, but it's not going to be as addictive as Instagram is to us right now. Like, so TikTok will now be that realm where you just get on to just look at mindlessly.
Is TikTok the new Instagram?
No.
It's not the new Instagram. It's going to be the new just addictive feed.
Oh, it's just something.
I think that's going to be the phrase I'll use for it. Because it's not, what, you know, looking at a picture, commenting likes. But, I mean, it's video content. It's just, it's funny. It's sometimes really creative. It's just in the realm of, like, if I want to look at something, like, that's what I was doing before editing the show. It's like, I just got trapped into looking at video after video after video, because they're all kind of different and they're all kind of just creative in their own way. It's just another creative outlet that people are slowly finding themselves going to.
It's very much like Vine back in the day. I listened to this podcast called Business Wars, and the last season they just did, it was the Facebook versus Snapchat, and talked about how basically, and I didn't know a lot of this, that when Snapchat was really like getting steam around 2013, 2014, Mark Zuckerberg went to Snapchat, the two guys, and was like, here's $3 billion. Let me buy the company. And they were like, no, we're going to make so much more money. And they blew up. And remember that round, it was like 2015, 2016, when like the Snapchat goggles and like, what's his face? Another one.
DJ Khaled.
DJ Khaled.
He was like the original Snapchat famous celebrity.
He was. I mean, and when Kylie Jenner and all the Jenners and Kardashians were on it, I mean, and it was like the hot thing to be on. Mm-hmm. And then when they did that update, and that's when everybody left.
Well, it wasn't just the update. It was a, I feel like it was a perfect storm of, they did an update that was not very user-friendly. Mm-hmm. And old Mark Zuckerberg was like, fine, mm-hmm, I can't buy you. I will just outdo you. And so then they started doing stories on Instagram and then eventually Facebook. And at first we were like, we don't want stories on Instagram, mm-hmm, and Facebook. And boom. Now here we are.
Now what's interesting is in this series, this podcast I was listening to, after the Snapchat guy said, no, we don't want you to buy us, Mark Zuckerberg literally sat everyone down in Facebook and he said, well, if people won't let us buy their companies, we'll just copy them.
Yeah.
Literally. He was like, that was their mantra. It wasn't like a, well, it's on the slide. They were like, no, if you see something that is out there, let's just copy
it.
Recreate
it. Yeah.
And that's, mm-hmm, been their new mantra. And so that's why I say with TikTok, it'll be interesting to see how Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook, ooh, and Instagram combat TikTok and what they do with it, because you might find whatever elements that make TikTok so special, you might see that all of a sudden pop up on Instagram.
Because they will not be outdone. Like, Mark Zuckerberg is some kind of evil genius.
He is like next generation Bill Gates. Like, he will shut you down. Like, really interesting.
What's weird, though, is like, I'm pretty sure I'm the same age as Mark Zuckerberg.
Oh, yeah, you are.
What the fuck am I doing with my life?
What, for real,
well,
though?
Well, he's a genius. I mean, there's the difference.
Like, he has legit, like, way more mental capacity and understanding of how things work than I do.
But you have a wand that you're holding.
And see, here's the difference. I'm holding a Harry Potter wand from Universal.
Yeah. And he was holding a computer at the age of 14, building the first instant messenger for his house.
Yep.
In the 90s, before AOL came out with
it. When I was trying to graduate college, I was like, you know, trying to do my sorority Greek week and be the number one person, and he was building Facebook.
Yes. Here's another question that you have left us on the Miguel and Holly Insta. When one of y'all don't go to work, do you turn on the radio and listen to them? So when we're out, one of us is out, do you still listen?
Oh, no, when I've been out, absolutely. I think it's really fun, too, because I've been on trips where I've gone with, like, my mom last year and I went up to North Carolina. We listened to the show the whole time because it's just kind of cool to be like, I'm on that show. Like, that, it was a moment, like, that for me was a moment that I got to share with my mom and be like, because I think there's a point where, like, I called in or something. And that was special because I was like, Mom, like, I'm doing it. Like, I'm, you know, mm-hmm, I'm on that. Like, we're listening to me. Like, it was a really cool moment. So I listen to this show when I'm not in here. But there's very rare times where not in here.
Holly. Holly doesn't listen.
wait, now hold on. I do listen.
If you just happen to be in the car.
Yes. Absolutely. Because I was going to say the same thing. It's a cool feeling. Like,
right.
I've had to, over the past several months, like, dip out a couple days to, because I brought my daughter into work. Mm-hmm. And then I had to dip out from the show and run her over to school and then come back. And if I'm in the car, especially if I'm driving, when you and the M&H fam are driving, I like to get that experience of, like, experiencing the show from your point of view.
Mm.
I think that is super cool. And so it's weird though, because I'm like, I know what's happening. I know what's about to happen. Like, ooh, how crazy is this? It's definitely a weird out of body experience almost. But like if I'm sick or if I'm on vacation, bye. I'm sorry. Like I feel like I have such trust in you that I know y'all gonna be fine. Y'all fine. I'm not here for a reason. So
no,
I need to be vacationing or sick or whatever.
No, I listen every day, all the time.
Yeah.
Like literally even if I'm out and it is for vacation, if I am around a place where I can pick up the internet,
yep,
I will listen in.
Yep.
And it's not that I'm sitting there listening and judging. I'm just curious. I'm just curious what it sounds like. Sort of like you. Like, I'm a radio nerd. And so it's just fascinating to me how the mechanics of our show sound in a car, on a phone.
Right.
And so I'm trying to think, when I was in Atlanta, and it was like Pride in Atlanta. And I woke up that Monday morning and I was hungover still. And I sat in a hotel room and Mr. Silver Fox was next to me. My friend Brandon was in the other bed in the hotel room. And I was like, sorry, y'all, I'm listening. And I listened to you all the whole time because I'm a radio nerd. And I'm just like, how are they doing? Is everything okay? It sounds good.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. And it sounded great.
It did sound great.
Pat myself on the back.
Mm-hmm.
Here's another question. Fave memory of working at the radio station, all of you.
And I'm assuming we mean this radio station?
Yeah. Let's do here. Yeah, we've been here long enough now, Holly.
Ooh, I know. How crazy is that?
5 years.
It's going to be 5 years?
In March.
Wow.
Gosh, okay.
I don't know. I'm not ready. Wait, let me think.
Favorite memory of working here? I will go. To me, we talked about this last podcast. It's been a trying time since we've been here at Hot 101.5, and we sort of have not really talked a lot about it, and we've just sort of just didn't delve into it because it was behind-the-scenes stuff. But I think as I'm maturing as a talent and just wanting to just be like, listen, this is why sometimes I may sound a little off, because things are a little batshit crazy behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when we got here in March of 2015, it was, with any new job, it was a challenge and it was scary and it was hard because there were so many new challenges. And then it was the week of Halloween when the guy that hired us left.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, shit. Like, he was the one that we knew that, like, the higher-ups in our company, they had to be sold on us. They weren't like, oh, my God, we love Miguel and Holly.
This is exactly right for the brand.
Like, let's get them a Hot 101.5. It was like he had to convince them. He believed in us. He had to convince them. And they were kind of like, well, I mean, there's nobody else, so, I mean, we'll go ahead.
We'll trot these yokels out.
Right? And so when he left, it was like, because in radio, when the person that hires you leaves, traditionally, you can pretty much go ahead and start saving all your audio files because you're about to be out.
And the reason being, it's not ill will usually. It's just that whoever they bring in after that, like the new boss, will oftentimes want to surround him or herself with their own people.
Absolutely.
Because it's easy. It's a lot. Like, you got your crew. Mm-hmm. You will do the thing.
And we had not been here for even a year.
Right.
It was only since March, and it's October now. And so it was the week that it was Taylor Swift was here that sat. We had the Hot Haunted Yacht that Friday. And then Taylor Swift was that Saturday. The Hot Haunted Manor was a little awkward because we were new. It was our first time. Our new boss was no longer our new boss. Oh, and mm-hmm. Everyone was like, what are we doing? What's going on? And then Saturday was Taylor Swift. Mm. And we did a contest for, we said, because it was at the Ray J for her 1989 show.
Yep.
And we said, if you make a sign that's like Miguel and Holly and Hot 101.5, we have a pair of upgrades for you.
Like if it was front row tickets.
Front row tickets. And so they had a stage out in the plaza of the Ray J. And it was like nothing that I didn't think we would experience that soon in a city like this, where there were so many people that, like, at the time, you barely knew us. We'd only been on the air for a little bit. We were only talking for 2 minutes at a time.
Yeah.
But you all, like, scoured the internet and found old pictures, anecdotes, just all these flyers or posters of us. And it was such a cool moment where I was like, we may be okay.
Yeah.
We may be okay.
Correct.
And so to me, at the very beginning, when we were in the middle of chaos, it was like that calming, like, okay, we may be able to make this work.
Yeah. I figured out what mine is, but it's very selfish. So I have two.
That's fine.
One non-selfish one and one selfish one. So the non-selfish one is, when was that? Summer 2017, maybe?
Mm-hmm.
When Flo Rida came in.
Mm.
And we had, we brought Flo Rida in. It was a big concert over at, what's the name of the stadium?
Al Lang
Stadium, mm-hmm, in St. Pete. And the crowd wasn't like massive,
right?
But it was very vibrant, and everybody was having fun.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big old party. Like, Flo Rida felt like he was just like friends with us.
Right.
I mean, it just seemed like one of those really cool radio moments that you don't get all the time, where everything kind of goes right.
Right.
So I really enjoyed that. And then selfishly, I think it was New Year's from 2016 going into 2017.
Mm-hmm.
We had somebody in at Janice.
Dea.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that was not the highlight. The highlight was that, like, she was supposed to take the stage at midnight,
mm-hmm,
and perform. And so, like, 10 minutes before midnight, I don't remember who started this. Maybe it was you, Miguel. Maybe it was DJ Eakin, our night guy at the time,
mm-hmm,
who got all of Janice, which was packed out, to sing Happy Birthday to me,
mm-hmm,
at like midnight on New Year's Eve, because, mm-hmm, my birthday is New Year's,
yeah,
Day.
Right.
And literally everyone at Janice is singing Happy Birthday to me. It was surreal.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, who am I? Like, right, how is this my life right now?
Right.
Sometimes you get those moments like that, when it makes all of the shitty days and the shitty contract negotiations, mm, and the narcissistic personality disorders people that you run into, like, all of that stuff kind of just absolutely melts. And you're like, wait a minute, Janice is singing Happy Birthday to me.
You're like, this is pretty damn cool.
So I that was very surreal.
Scott?
This is kind of a hard question, because I feel like I have yet to come across my favorite memory. Obviously, there's some, but I think I'll preface it with just like, life is getting interesting, like, right now.
Mm.
I think right now is when those memories are going to start creeping in, because now I feel like the listeners and the fam are starting to really catch on to who I am and feel like, you know, like they know me. And that's, like, it's becoming really cool, because now I could go out to things and people recognize who I am and they see me as part of the show. And that's now becoming, like, those cool memories. Like, one I think of is, like, hosting Pride. Like, when I got to do that with you, Miguel, and, like, that was nuts. Because my whole dream in life is to just stand in front of a crowd and just entertain. And to go there and to people having, like, asking me to take pictures with them, like, what? You want to take pictures with me? Like, that's crazy. And now that's just happening more and more, where it's, like, I think that's going to slowly become, in this next year, like, something big is about to happen. I don't know what it's going to be. But it's just becoming really cool to see, like, I'm doing it. Like, these things are finally happening. Because before it, I mean, it was kind of back and forth, and now I was on a promotion team where, like, there was cool memories and stuff, but
right.
Well, that, and nothing, you were also in college.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the focal point.
Right.
Exactly. And, like, now I feel like it's increasing by just every single time that I go out, it's just getting better and better.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't think that favorite memory has, like, fully creeped in just yet.
Absolutely.
Makes sense.
It just really goes to show me sometimes that, and I feel like maybe over the next year or two, I don't know why, but I just feel like getting older is just, it's so weird. And I wish that I one day want to figure out a better phrase or way to describe
that's
it.
That's pretty a blanket statement.
It is. And I literally, I've been thinking about how to describe it.
Like, in what way is it weird?
That it's like, I sort of describe it, or I think of, like, when I was in the sixth grade and we had just gotten MTV. We got cable. We got MTV. And I had just discovered, like, The Real World, music videos. Because before that, you know, you had to have MTV to see music videos. And so I heard songs on the radio, but, like, I rarely, outside of, like, seeing, like, you know, Tiger Beat or whatever, like, you would see the people that you loved. And I feel like my eyes were sort of, like, open to the world. And I remember consciously thinking when I was, like, 11 and 12, wow, the world isn't just, like, right in front of me. Like, there's all these people everywhere. There's different types of people. And I just remember my eyes, like, being opened, like the blinders were opened. And for some reason, I feel like that's happening to me right now.
As you get older?
Where it's like you have all this perspective and experience now to rely on that you didn't have before. So, like, when we were Scott's age and we were doing radio, I remember we were like, how do you do a morning show? Yeah. Like, I don't know. Like, I didn't have any instincts on, like, what was good, what was bad.
Well, and how would you?
Exactly. But, like, that was only what you know. And so then you wake up one day and you're like, oh, wait, I'm 34. I kind of know what I'm doing because I can remember 10 years ago when we tried to do this contest and it bombed miserably. Or we did this and it worked great. But it doesn't, I guess I thought that when you're older, it just, how do I describe it? It felt like, I don't know, like your mind would be cloudy, like you're old and like you can't remember stuff and you just.
Okay, that's when you're like 75.
I know, but it's just, I wish there was a better way to describe it. It's just to me, just getting older is interesting because it's like you feel more comfortable within yourself. But then I'm also right now, like this is the longest I've ever lived anywhere. Like we've been here now almost 5 years, literally since I left for college. This is the longest time I've been in a city.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, my body's kind of like, kind of felt a little restless. Like, what else can we do? And I'm like, well, maybe it's time to like hang out in a different place or find different things to do than what's the norm. So I don't know. It's just, I got to think about how to describe it better.
I think it's actually opposite of what you originally thought. When you get older, and I mean, when I say older, I mean into your 30s and probably 40s, maybe 50s. I don't know. I'm not there yet. I can't think about it. That seems too far away.
Right.
Which is probably how Scott feels about me.
But
that's true, though, because I used to think that people who were like my age when I was your age, I was like, oh, old people. But I think that life actually gets clearer and sharper as you get older instead of getting fuzzier like you maybe thought it was.
Yeah. Yes.
Because looking back in my 20s, everything was like, what is happening? Like, who knew this? Like,
oh, yeah.
I just remember going to like my first couple business meetings and being like, is anybody going to realize that I'm a child and I shouldn't be at the grown-up table? Does that sound familiar?
That's like literally yesterday I was talking to somebody and I have these moments more and more now where I'm like, I'm talking to somebody casually and I just feel like a little kid. But we're like probably close to the same age, but the fact that they're older than me, I just feel like I'm just the young one that I'm like,
I know.
I have to realize that these are now peers.
Yeah.
They're not just older people. Like, it's just weird to me.
You have to do it in your own head.
Well, yeah, because I feel like I can't be their friend because they're older.
I know.
Literally. Like, that was my thought yesterday. I'm, like, chatting with this guy. I'm like, oh, this is cool. Then I'm like, I'm like a little kid. Like, what the fuck? You're like, you're an adult.
Right, but you know what? It takes time to get that. And I feel like when we got here, like there's just a, like when you work in a radio station, there's just a certain, and whether it's right or wrong, but that's just the way our industry works. There's like a reverence almost for the morning show because typically like the radio morning show sort of drives and they're the anchor of the radio station. We're the face of Hot 101.5. Like maybe you casually listened to Hot 101.5 before we got here. And then we've been working at building a relationship and a rapport with you through the years. And so you know these things about Holly's child, about my mom, my grandmother, about Scott now and his girlfriend. And so you establish these deep relationship roots with us. And so that makes you hopefully listen to the radio station longer.
Right.
And so there's this reverence that's been reserved. And I felt like when we first got here, I was kind of like, I don't deserve that. Like, people would be like, oh, they're the new morning show. Look at them. And I'm like, girl, I don't know. Like, this is my first time driving a ship in a city this big. So, like, let me see if we know what the fuck we're doing before it happens. And then it's like one day you're like, yes.
Oh, hello. I forgot to introduce myself.
My name is Miguel. Yeah. Not that I'm like, look at me, girl. I'm the morning show. But you're just like, yes. I fucking wake up early every day. I have cried on the radio for people that I've lost in my life. And I have spilled my guts and said things that if I saw you in the street, I would never tell you in person.
Right. But we have that special relationship.
Right.
Where we are. It's a weird one, too.
It really
is. Because, like, we are friends, but we don't actually know you that well.
Right.
But we do, but we don't.
Right.
You know us way more intimately than we know you.
Right.
It's a relationship unlike any other.
It is.
Because, I absolutely would be friends with a ton of you.
Right.
Like, I get messages like, oh, my gosh, like, we should be friends. Yeah, probably so. But it's, again, a little weird because we've never met.
Exactly. But because of that relationship, I find that that's where I'm finding my power, sort of going back to the last podcast we talked about, where, for instance, like talking about my grandmother, and like so many of you wrote me these beautiful messages about your experiences and sort of what you went through. And so when you share those things with me, I have a face of who we're talking to.
Right. So your stories become you.
Exactly. And so then when we go into meetings and we have people from corporate who don't live here and they're like, well, that thing you all talked about wasn't right, or that's kind of, they never said stupid, but just that wasn't on point.
Yeah.
And I want to be like, but wait a minute. I got 10 messages from this girl about what she's went through. I know who we're talking to. I literally can see their faces. And so it makes me stick up more for you because it's like I see you. Whereas to them, they're just like they fly from city to city from radio stations in our company and they put these generalizations over listeners. And it's like, no. I know these people. They talk to me on Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat. Like, I know who you are. And so it makes me stick up for what we do more. And so I think bring it all back. With age and that wisdom, I think has come my power in being able to stand up for what I think is true because I see you who was listening to us and you choose to listen to us. And I want and I'm very careful to make sure that everything that we put out and every event that we do, hopefully, is perfect for you as much as possible.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
All right, let's move on to the next question.
Next question. I didn't remember the original question anymore.
I know. It was your favorite memory of working at the radio station.
Got it.
Someone said, I freaking love you guys.
Oh,
we
thanks.
Love you too. Miguel, why are you always making fun of Holly's hippie stuff? Interesting. Hold on. I got to let me just.
Oh, God. And as you proceed to make fun of my hippie stuff,
I'm not making fun. I just got to.
Okay.
No, I'm not making fun. It is, how would you describe it? Obviously, when Holly, when you talk about those things, like, I'm not saying, oh, my God, that's so stupid. It's more so just I don't understand.
Right.
And so I am in a jokingly way. Like, I would never say, Holly, your essential oils are stupid. Your yoga is stupid because it's not stupid.
Right.
Because you believe in it. And that's like you telling me that CrossFit is stupid.
Right.
It's just not for you.
Right.
Like you have been to my CrossFit now and you've seen what you do, what I do.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not for you.
It's not for me.
Mm-hmm.
And your essential oils and or not. And I want to just put it, metal it down to essential oils.
Right. But just
but like
just
your holistic way of living and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
Like that's just not me.
Right.
And so I'm not making fun of you saying you're stupid. I'm just as like a friendly back and forth, poking fun.
Like you do with your friends. It's done in a respectful way.
Right.
You will never hear Miguel be like, you know, say something in a tone or use words that demean me or take away from what I like.
Mm-hmm.
And vice versa.
Right.
Because we love and respect each other.
Right.
And I know how rare that relationship is.
Right.
So I value it every day. So I don't. I never take it in a bad way, and I never feel bad. I laugh at myself because, like, half the time I hippie shit, and I'm like, listen, I already know this is kind of cuckoo, but there's a meditation guy coming up on the winter solstice in December. If y'all want to come, and I'm like, expect Miguel to be like, what bullshit is this? But at the same time, if I came in with, like, this real, if I was like, I have such an amazing story, I know Miguel would be the first one to be like, well, what is it? What happened? Like,
absolutely.
So mm-hmm. It's not done in an ill-mannered fashion.
And also, too, I feel like you have to remember that on, like, this is entertainment, what we do.
Mm, yeah.
You know? And, like, the basis of us is, like, there's true friendships. Like, I've really gotten to know Scott on a deeper level since we've been living together.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, it's been really fun getting to know him. And because of that, I see these little things that I can poke fun at. And also, for me, like, I've never been the one to, like, poke fun at people and to make fun of them because I was too serious. Like, most of my life, I have been I was a very serious person. I was like, I grew up poor. I got to make money. I got to get out of college in 4 years. I got to get my career started. I got to start saving money. And I've learned over the past few years to just sort of, like, relax.
Not take yourself so seriously.
Exactly. And so in that, being able to, like, laugh and not be like, well, Holly has this very important yoga stuff she wants to do, and we have to treat it with reverence. And it's, and of course, if you're coming in and saying, this is something really important to me, I'm going to listen.
Yeah.
But I've also learned to lighten up a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. It's the same thing with you and your friend group. Plus, on the radio, you just, and we've been told this for a long time, and I think we finally perfected it a few years ago, where Miguel and I used to agree on everything all the time.
Yes.
And everybody would tell us, okay, well, that's boring.
Yes.
I mean, to listen to. Mm-hmm. Think about it. It's like, if you're listening to us in your car, and I was like, do you love these new pens that we got? And Miguel would be like, I love the new pens.
The pens
I love them
fantastic.
So much. And I'd be like, me too. Wow. The pens.
I'm really supportive of your pens,
Scott,
Holly.
Do you like the pens?
Yeah.
I love it. That is boring as hell.
Yeah. Right.
So like, and now that there's three of us that are like more on equal footing, there's got to be a little bit of disagreement because otherwise it's boring.
Exactly.
So there's the end of that story.
Let's see here.
Next question.
And I guess the same person asked, what makes you uncomfortable about Holly's alternative views? They don't make me uncomfortable. That's just not me.
Mm.
That's just not me because I'm one of the people that's
alternative what?
And alternative views.
Oh, views.
Your
views,
alternative views.
Got
where
it.
I think of like what is the GMO stuff that you?
Oh, don't get me started on GMOs.
Oh, we're not gonna go down that road.
No,
well, it's genetically modified organisms,
right?
And so, basically, it's like food that's been manufactured, and so like it started, I think, with like soy or corn, but basically they manufacture it and they put like they genetically modify the particles, so it's not just natural corn from like you know the 1800s.
Right.
It's corn plus steroids,
right.
And they have like pesticides built in so that bugs don't get to the crops. But then you think about like what the hell am I putting in my body? I'm putting in like pesticides?
Right.
Sorry, I get really worked up about GMO.
I do have a rebuttal, though. I know we're not going to go down that road.
No, please do.
I've had this conversation with my brother before, too. My brother gets way into this. Like, he just researches, like, all day.
Yeah.
Very smart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But, like, with that, like, with GMOs, like, if we didn't have them, would we be able to supply the food that we need
That's
for
the question.
Society?
That's the question. And so I have stopped doing research on GMOs because I got busy. Like, most of the research I did was when we were unemployed. A lot of time on my hands to watch videos and dig into the internet. So I don't know the answer to that question. But I remember at one point I did read that there would be a balance. Like it would be like we have so much surplus now because of the GMO that a lot of it goes to waste.
Yeah, that's true. That's
so,
true.
I don't know. I'll get back to you.
I don't like wasting food. That's
I'll get back
that's
to you.
True. I mean, but it makes sense. I mean, listen, that what it goes down to is that I'm one of those people where, I guess in a sense, I just stick my head in the sand and I'm like, I probably should be more watchful of it, but I'm
but
like.
But that's not a point for you.
No, I'm like, of all the things I got to worry about in my day, I can't be like, well, where's my non-GMO food?
Mm.
I'm like, let me go to Wendy's and get some spicy nugs.
No, that's complete opposite. Oh, gosh.
That's fine.
Scott, did Mary receive her care package from you? What did she think? Love you guys.
She did receive it. She got it and she loved it. It was actually a good thing because she got it and she FaceTimed me. And again, like we rarely get to FaceTime. Like when I say rarely, like, whew, far in between. But she did get it, and she did get to call me for like a couple minutes and just talk about it, and it made her very happy because I haven't really talked about her in the past couple weeks because she's just been boggled down with work, like stress levels beyond capacity. But she did get it, and it made her feel better, so it did help in the long sum. So I'm happy I did it because I was nervous to do it because I didn't know how to mail a package. But
care packages are always good.
Now I can do it more often because I know how it works.
What was in the care package?
I could say there's a card. I wrote her a card just to kind of, you know, keep her going. I gave her a Starbucks gift card to get her some caffeine because she, like, doesn't sleep. Got her some fuzzy socks because it's getting cold up there over in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
I got her. She also, when it was my birthday, like, a couple weeks ago, and she sent me, like, a couple shirts, and she also sent a scarf for herself, but it all just came to me because she bought it from the same place. Oh. And she wanted me to mail that to her as well. So that was kind of the originator. But I was like, you know what? Let me take this opportunity to send some stuff along. And so I sent that, and I think that's, and then like some lotion and stuff. And like, there you go. Hook you up for the winter. So you could survive these next couple weeks.
Some adult lotion?
No, absolutely not. Aveeno, good for dry skin when it's colder.
Adult lotion.
How does Scotty feel right now with his costume on?
Okay. Oh, God, this is a little... Well, I'm going to be honest. It is definitely uncomfortable, as in both mentally and physically, because I feel like all sides of me are just hanging out at all times, and I just kind of got to get used to it and be okay with it.
Hold on. Before you keep going, I just want to, just in case you're listening to the podcast and you haven't had a chance to listen to the show.
Yeah,
got to
explain what it is.
We do this game called Throwback Throwdown that Scott lost, and the consequence was you had to wear your Halloween costume for a week, and you have been in a Hooters costume now for
actual Hooters. Not even like the joke ones that you could kind of get.
5 days.
5 days, yeah. So they're like the nice short, the very tight shorts, the very tight shirt, these socks, the whole thing. It's uncomfortable. I mean, it's definitely, you know, I went out in public a couple times, and I think it would be funnier with other people. When it's just me, it's extremely uncomfortable. Because then it's not just like, haha, this is funny, get this on video. It's more like, okay, like it's funny as soon as you see me, then after that it's very uncomfortable.
That's how I felt when I lost and I had to wear the dog cone for like 4 days.
Yes!
And I was only like 1 day you had to wear the dog cone.
Was it? And it was like 2 days. I think it was 2 days. Mm-hmm. I don't remember. But I just remember I had to go to Walgreens to pick up my prescription. And I just remember, I was like, well, maybe I can go through the drive-thru. And I was like, no, I just got to walk through the fire and do it. And I just remember the pharmacist, people being like, are you okay?
Right.
Why do you have a dog cone
exactly.
on?
It's not. It's weird when you're alone. And that's why it's
super
like
weird.
I've gone home and I've kind of just been like, I don't really want to go out in public. Because I do. I would like the experience of going out and like doing stuff. But I know it's just going to be weird if it's just me. And like it. People won't even get the funny effect because, again, they're like, it's just this one guy.
Well, even when you explain it, because the two most uncomfortable costume things I've had to do were the purple morph suit a year ago, which is like a full body spandex suit. And I had to go pick up my child from school in it. And the other parents are like, that's interesting. And I'm like, I lost this challenge. They're like, what the hell is this? A reality show? Get out of here with that. Also, I had to wear a snowman costume when I had my wedding, my bridal shower.
Yeah.
And that was a little
rough. That was fun. I think maybe we should get some cards made when we have these sort of consequences that you just give out to people. And you're like, I'm on a radio morning show, and sometimes we do crazy stuff.
Yeah, we need to get a sign. I thought about putting that on my back of like, hey, on the Miguel and Holly show, this is why I'm wearing this. I'm not just trying to be weird
good.
And have all my stuff
because
out.
Because it is, like, that's part of it, but it's so uncomfortable, especially nowadays where everybody's, like, on high alert, I feel like.
Yes.
That's what I'm saying. I walked in, and people were like, some people were like, haha. Other people were like, This man's
something
about
wrong
to do something crazy.
Right.
Like, this is uncomfortable. This is weird. I didn't like it. But you know what? It's fine. I think it's funny whenever like we're at a like a big group event and like people are laughing and that's fun.
Yeah.
Like when I went out and so like people loved it when I went downtown. Like they were having a great time, pictures everywhere. Awesome. But that's kind of it.
Well, and it was Halloween weekend.
Exactly.
So it kind of
like,
fit
makes
in.
It fun. When other places it's uncomfortable. But it's fine.
Here's basically three questions rolled into one.
Oh.
When are you guys going to roll out a new game? Throwback Throwdown needs to go.
Oh.
I understand that Scotty needs to pay his dues, but y'all are going to give him a breakdown. Free Scotty. Can we get a game that all of you play? Please. Scotty losing is not cool.
Well, I mean, I'm not going to have it. Like, I'm good. Like, I won't have a breakdown. I want to win. And I think eventually I will. I think it's going to become the story of, like, the comeback kid. And it's going to be, like, just win after win. And everyone's going to be like, Scotty, Scotty. But I'm not going to have a breakdown. Like, I'm good. It would be cool. I think other people, I feel bad for listeners just constantly be like, Scott lost again. that's my perspective. But I'll be fine.
I don't know why. It sort of makes me angry. And only I know what we've done over the past 12 years of our career. You listening, we're not listening when we were in Panama City. You were not listening when we worked at another radio station in town. You were not listening when we worked back in Panama City the second time around. every time we did it. And even here, literally since we've been here, I lost everything until Scott started joining on the things. And I'm like, he's only lost, what, six weeks we've been doing Throwback Throwdown?
Yeah.
And I'm like, headphone karaoke, when we did it, I still lost.
A lot.
You never, did you ever lose headphone karaoke?
No, no, never.
Wow, once. Never once.
I'm really good at singing.
And dang. So that's why when people are like, oh my God, Scott, I'm like, are you fucking kidding me?
I think it's losing.
Like
the combination of like, if you look through the, like, it's like back to back, I think is the problem because like nobody in between, I'm not complaining.
I lost back to back.
I know, but like you see, like I'm on the new boss's desk, like pretty much naked. I'm walking around in a Hooters outfit. Pretty much naked. So, like, it looks like I'm just constantly naked. But, again, I don't care. But it is kind of funny to hear listeners' perspective.
I mean, do you want me to do a consequence where we're eating bugs and stuff?
Ew, no. I mean, I'm not doing funny. It.
That's why I've always never, I've strayed away from those sort of consequences
not,
because that's
I'm
too gross.
I'm protesting. I know, like, that other morning shows have done that.
I'm just saying.
You said you what?
I think it would be entertaining.
No. Mm-mm. I'm sorry. I will draw a mother line.
But that's what, never mind.
No, yeah. The other thing I ever drew a line at was, remember when we worked with Kramer and we did something every single Friday and the consequence was supposed to be you have to do the show naked? I was like,
yeah,
this is some bullshit. I'm like, he just wants to see my titties. And so I was like, I'm not doing the show naked. I will do it in my bikini.
Yeah.
But I will not show up to this building nude.
Like that, that's where I draw the line. Like I can't, like it's one thing for us to be like in scantily clad like stuff. But, like, I cannot imagine looking over at you right now, Holly, and your titties are just right there.
I'm saying, I would not be able to do my job.
No. Or, like, Scott, if I just looked over and, like, your dick was just on, like, I can't, like, or if I was just sitting on this damn blue seat right now.
Naked.
And my bare ass was here and my booty hole was touching the seat. Like, no.
Booty hole.
There's some lines.
We do have some lines.
We do.
Now, when it comes to all of us playing a game, just logistically, like, somebody's got to host the game and two others play.
That's true.
Which is why with Throwback Throwdown, we did where if you both tie, I get the consequence. So, and that's, wait, it happened once? Or
yeah, no,
yeah,
once.
It happened once.
It happened once.
Because we had to choose your Halloween costume.
Exactly. So it's like, and y'all could have done anything you wanted to. It was open field, open season. I had absolutely zero say in that. And so we do try to make it fair as much as possible, and we do switch out the games. And so Throwback Throwdown will wind down in a few weeks.
Yeah,
and
then it has an expiration date, just like everything else.
Absolutely. Let's see here. Oh. When's the first Miguel and Holly had sex?
What? Now, wait, what?
Oh, wait.
I'm assuming that's not together, because I'm getting you're not.
I would like to go ahead and make one thing clear.
Yeah.
Make the announcement.
Miguel and I have never had sex.
All right.
I mean, we live together, Holly.
We did live together.
Hey.
Lots of people are able to live in the same house and not have sex with each other.
Really? I didn't know that. Hey. All right. No, we have not had sex.
No.
Do any of y'all suffer with feelings like no one hears you, but they hear everyone else?
That's a deep question.
Do any of y'all suffer from feelings like no one hears you, but they hear everyone else?
I'll say yes, but not exactly in that way. Mm. Let me see how I want to talk about this. So, this is a fucking deep one. It's interesting. Because if you've been listening to the past couple of podcasts, I'll try to make it quick, too. I know Danny's got to get in here. Well, he's not out there.
Oh, I
figure it's like 10:15.
Oh, I texted him.
Oh, okay. I actually, if you've been listening to the last few podcasts, I've been talking about my little journey through therapy with my therapist.
Mm-hmm.
And I just had another visit yesterday.
Oh.
And we actually talked about something very similar to this in my session yesterday.
Interesting.
So I have joked in the past. And I would still joke today because I feel like it's not something that I am actively angry or bitter about. I'm not. But there is a reoccurring theme where for the entire, you know, decade plus that Miguel and I have worked together, and even when we had Kramer or when we had Mandy or when we had Scott and Jimmy and Ryan, and we've had a plethora of other people that have, like, been with us through the years, wherever we go, usually, like, 99% of the time, if Miguel and I are somewhere together, Miguel is the first person that people go up to. And I will joke about that. Like, I have different jokes that I trot out, and I'm like, I just look like any other white bitch. Like, whatever. That's my go-to. And sometimes I'll just take it in stride. And I've said before, like, I'm just riding his coattails and stuff. Well, I'm going to stop saying that. But it is actually a thing that does happen. And it doesn't actively hurt my feelings. Like, at first, like, for example, I think of this.
Oh my God, is it the grocery store? Yes. That was horrible.
Like, one of the first times, because you were still kind of new.
Yeah.
And we were living over at Royal Hunt Drive. Mm-hmm.
Panama City.
And so we basically got, we went to Publix, and Miguel was in front of me in the line, and the cashier was like, and I don't even quite remember the scenario now and the actions, but like the cashier was like, and this is always how it goes, are you Miguel? And of course, Miguel's like, yeah, Miguel. And he, and then Miguel graciously, as always, I might add, goes, this is Holly. She works too. And the woman literally glanced at me as if I were like a stray dog and was like, cool. And then turned back to Miguel and like put her arm out in front of me that I couldn't even like see anything anymore. And she was like, Miguel! And it was like, that was probably the first time that I was like, oh. I mean, whatever. That's fine. I still get to be on the radio, so joke's on you. So it's really not that big of a deal consciously and in my day-to-day life. What I talked about in therapy, though, and so we kind of got to this, is that subconsciously and, like, deep-rooted in, like, the part of your brain that you don't actively use, that happens enough times over the course of a decade. And it has an impact.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's not Miguel's fault. It's not your fault. It's not his fault. It's not you listening. It's not your fault. It's no one's fault. It's just a thing that happens. And so I believe, and I was talking with my therapist about this, that what it sort of, and this is where I'm seeing the effects now after it's been like 10 years, is like it subtly impacts you. And it makes you feel maybe a little bit less than.
Mm.
And it's such a subconscious thing that you don't even notice it. It's just that over the course of 10 years, it wears you down, itty bitty tiny bits at a time until one day you're just like, well, I, you know, Scott and I have to go do Teacher of the Week alone, just the two of us. And I'm going in with feelings of inadequacy because I know that they don't want to see me. They want to see Miguel. And I immediately feel bad. And that is a conscious feeling. And I'm not mad about it. It's just like, this is it. Mm. So, and I didn't really want to talk about this because I don't want to make you feel bad.
Mm, mm-hmm.
Codependency. Yay.
I feel horrible, but I want to make you feel bad.
Exactly.
Though.
Like, I would rather.
Good? Are you okay?
I'd rather feel bad on my own than ever do anything to make you feel bad. So I didn't want to tell you about it because I know you're similar and you're like, you're going to take it to heart. And I don't want you to do that. It's nothing that you've ever done. You've been nothing but like pull me up with you. Mm. Miguel will always be my champion. But it just happens so frequently. And again, no one's fault. Nobody's wishing ill will. It's just on my psyche. It's like they don't want to see you. They don't want to see you. They don't want to see you. Nobody cares about you. So when I do have to do things on my own, I'm like, I was never this way before in my 20s. Like I get nervous and I get I'm not good enough and nobody wants to see me and they're only coming here for Miguel. And so to answer the question, yes, I sometimes feel like when I say things, people don't receive it or they don't hear it. And it especially sucks when like a salesperson will come into our office, which we all share, and will ask a question and only look at Miguel or only want Miguel's opinion or whatever the case may be.
Right.
Like, we're all here. And so what we've boiled it down to, and my therapist said this, she's the one that brought this up. And I was like, I think it's my own thing. And she's like, honestly, the patriarchy is a hard thing to dissolve.
Yeah.
She goes, it's sexism.
Oh, absolutely.
And I was like, immediately I wanted to say no. I was like, no, because Miguel's a gay black man. We're both marginalized at this point. Like,
right.
He's not over here being like, ha ha, I'm a man swinging my dick around. Let me just get my people to, no. No. And she's like, no, it doesn't matter. She goes, there is just this conditioning that people want to look to the man first because that's the leader.
Right.
And she's like, it permeates our entire society.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, we've never had a female president for a reason. And I was like, oh, damn, she getting crazy with this. But, like, I really love this therapist. And she's super, she seemed, now that especially we have this conversation, she's very progressive and very, you know, pro me standing up for myself and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't mean to make our fun, you know, Tuesday answer questions about this.
Girl, anything we do turns into this because
I know.
Listen, I love this conversation.
Deep.
So no, this is so much better. Like, I listen to so many podcasts where it's just like, oh, sex, blah, blah, blah. And it's like, no. This is the impactful stuff that hopefully you listening walk away understanding a little bit more about yourself as we're discovering more about ourselves.
Yeah. And I love that I am discovering more because for so long I've just kind of been like, well, I got it all together. I'm just floating through life doing the best I can, as we all do. I'm not blaming anybody else. I'm just, you know, this is my life.
Right.
But it's so cool lately to see, and I've always been interested in the why. Why do people do what they do? Why do people react how they do? Why do people come in and talk to Miguel and don't even acknowledge the fact that I'm sitting right there?
Right.
Why was my name not on the show from the get-go? Like...
And what I find so interesting about all of that is, I mean, we used to joke in the past all the time with our other host that we had when it was Holly and I on the side and he was the host and he was a straight white man, that it would happen to the both of us.
Correct.
Where, like, they would not look at us. They would not.
No.
Nothing. Like, I was like, I was just the janitor, like, cleaning up the office, you know? Like,
I'm over here trying to make babies.
Right. That was it. We didn't exist. And I did notice that shift. I mean, it first happened when we got this job here in Tampa, and I just happened to be able to come down a week before to look for a place to live. And they're like, hey, why don't you swing by, sign your contract? And they're like, hey, what do you think the name of the show should be? And I was like, well, in Panama City, it was the Miguel Show with Mandy and Holly. But now it's just Holly and I, so it should be like Miguel and Holly. And they were like, well, we just think for continuity, let's just keep it like the Miguel Show. And sort of going off of like, finding your voice and your power. This was before we got here, and I felt like I was just happy to be able to walk in the building.
Exactly.
And so I was like, well, I really think it's just the two of us. And they're like, no. And these were people who I would never attribute to being sexist, of being racist, or any of those things.
No, they're very open-minded. We have, like, all kind of diversity days and everything here.
They wouldn't have hired us as the morning show if they thought that, you know?
Right.
But I do think that there is that latent back in your mind, sexism.
Yeah.
And I sort of feel that same way about racism as well.
Yes.
Where it's like, you're not racist, you're not sexist, but you have a feeling it should be the man's show.
Correct.
Like, granted, yes, I'm the one that, like, pushes the buttons and I, like, guide sort of, like, the content of the show. But, like, if Holly was not here, it would not sound like this.
Right.
It would not have this
it wouldn't feel be the same show.
Absolutely.
It wouldn't
and
be
so
the same show.
Why don't you attribute everything that she brings to the table as much as what I bring to the table? Because my pushing the buttons and guiding the content is just as important as everything that Holly brings to the table.
Right.
But it goes back to that latent sexism that we have, that when we talk about it, when you acknowledge it, you go, oh, I see. And it's sort of like what I've always said with racism. And when I was dating, and you would see white guys on Grindr and whatnot back in the day be like, no fats, no femmes, no blacks, no Asians. And I'd be like, so you realize that that's a little racist. And they'd be like, no.
They're like, no, that's just my personal preference.
It's a preference. And I'm like, so you're telling me that every single black man that you come across, from Chunky Me to Tyrese to brown person, The Rock. No.
No, that's a no for me, bro.
I'm like think what? About why. Think about the why and what you said, Holly, the context.
Yes.
And when you really start to pick that apart of like, wait, why have I been conditioned to think that? Oh, because our standard of beauty has always been white.
Mm.
We were always taught growing up, or not even, no one ever probably said it to you, black is not beautiful.
No, it's just again, what's around you.
It's what's around you. It's
absolutely.
What you see.
Absolutely. And so that's why I feel like our show, hopefully, you know, if we got fired tomorrow, we can say that we left a mark to show that, like, you can be a gay black man, you can be a white woman who is a single mother, who is smart and intelligent. You can do it,
mm-hmm.
no matter what you look like or what you think the world has put on you,
yeah.
that you can be successful.
Yeah, you got to strip that down. I'm 37 years old, and I just realized that this is even happening.
Right.
And we talked about this back, and you were there, Scott, and about the conversation when we realized that there may be another morning show in our building that gets a lot of accolades, and we were sort of never seen in that way.
Right.
And we just now realized it's probably because we don't fit the mold of a typical show.
Absolutely.
And we literally just realized that last week.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you don't know that it's happening. And that's why I'm not saying it's anyone's fault.
Right.
It's just you gotta work a little harder to realize that these invisible hurdles exist,
mm-hmm.
and knock that shit down.
Well, and you know, and I think that I'm glad you're realizing that, because I think I've like, when you grow up black, you're always told you got to work twice as harder than everyone else around you, which is why in our entire careers, I'm always like, I get here early, I stay here late. I've always said no one will outwork us. No one will outwork us. And I knew in hosting a show here that, like, I need to fucking get in these salespeople's faces and say, hey, look at me. Mm-hmm. Look at me. I am a talent. I'm not just some person. We have a show. Look at us. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. Look at me. But, like, I've always known that, because mm-hmm. that has been taught to me as a black person, that you got to fucking grab people and shake them. Whereas I feel like as a woman, that's one of those things that no one ever told you needed to do.
In fact, we were told the opposite.
Right. Be quiet.
We were told, make sure that you don't rock the boat.
Mm.
Make sure everybody's taken care of. Make sure that you're not, you know, getting too crazy, because then people will think you're aggressive and you're a bitch. And God, we don't want you to be that.
Right. Yeah.
So we were actively taught, we as women of all colors, were taught to just sit down.
Right.
So where you were taught to go out and overcome something, I was taught there wasn't even something to overcome.
Mm.
It was actually making me worse at, you know, putting myself down.
Right.
It's fucking crazy.
Bam.
Yeah.
Well, look at that.
Took you to church today, whoever it was that asked that question.
I got to give credit here to, let me see. Oh, that was Alicia.
Oh,
Alicia.
Oh, hey, Alicia.
Swamp bug.
She knows.
Come
she
on
knows
over
what's
here,
up.
Girl. Get it.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. All right. That was a good damn fucking podcast.
I'm really glad I had the therapy session yesterday.
I am too.
It was really, literally when my therapist was like, well, you know what sexism? And I was like, stop it.
Mm.
Literally yesterday. I was today years old when I found out that I've been dealing with sexism. So now we start the journey to figure that out and get better.
Wow.
Is there anything I can do to help?
Maybe just encouragement along the way. Because it's something I got to figure out how I need to do myself.
Mm-hmm.
But encouragement.
I love
positive it. Reinforcement, maybe.
I love it.
I don't know. I'll let you know.
Holly, what's all your social media?
Radio Holly on Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat, and Holly on Hot 101.5 on Facebook. And apparently coming soon, TikTok.
Oh, we'll work on it.
God.
Oh, my gosh.
Like, where will I find? I still have so many messages I got to respond to.
I know. I ain't got time.
Miguel and Holly Instagram, which, by the way, if you send us a message on there, we're getting to it.
Yeah.
Just thank you for messaging us. We're getting to it. So now we got to do TikTok.
Yeah.
We're working on it.
We just get somebody to answer social media. Like, there's so much messages, which is amazing. It's a great problem to have.
Just,
I just don't want you to think I'm ignoring people.
Scott, what's all your social media?
At Scott Tavlin, ScottTavlin.
Mine is Miguel Fuller. It is on Instagram and Twitter and Snapchat. I still upload on Snapchat and talk to you on there.
I don't.
And Facebook.com/RadioMiguel for Facebook. Please make sure, if you listen on iTunes, make sure to please rate us. Leave us a little comment. We'll read your comment. as you leave reviews, and make sure to subscribe so you get notifications every time we have a new podcast. All right, we'll talk to you next week. Bagger.
Want more Miguel and Holly? Listen to past episodes of Miguel and Holly Uncensored at hot1015tampabay.com, the Hot 101.5 app, or on iTunes.